My name is Gordon Thompson. I have been practicing DUI and criminal law since 1979. Many times people ask me, what should I do if I'm ever arrested for misdemeanor DUI? And so I've decided to do this blog describing what you should do. The first thing you should do once you're released from custody is try to get an independent blood test. When the person is arrested, the police are required to advise them that they have the right to obtain an independent blood test. Now, this sounds like more than it really is, because what the right means is the police cannot interfere with a person's efforts to obtain an independent blood test. It does not mean a hospital is required to give a person an independent blood test. And most will not. Having said that, you should always try, because even if you can't get one, you can at least say that I tried to get one, and that may make a difference in a trial when the case goes to trial. So the first thing you should try to do is get an independent blood test. If you cannot get one, then certainly try to document your efforts to get it, see if anybody will put that in writing or something to show that you tried to get an independent blood test. Now, the next steps depend upon what happened in the case. And more specifically, was there an accident? If there was an accident of any kind involving something more than damage to your own vehicle, then you should immediately contact an attorney. The reason for that is, certainly if there's a personal injury to someone else, for example, a passenger in your vehicle, a case like that can get charged as an aggravated assault. It does not take much in the context of criminal law to say that an injury is a serious injury for purposes of an aggravated assault prosecution. And it's very easy to have the county attorney try to charge one. For example, if you have a passenger in your vehicle, they were in the passenger seat in the front, they did not have their seatbelt on, there was a minor accident. Because they didn't have their seatbelt on, they put their hand up to brace themselves, put their hand on the dash to brace themselves. They fractured their thumb in the process. That can get charged as an aggravated assault. Similarly speaking, if there's a property damage resulting from the accident, then that can be also charged as a felony criminal damage. So again, if there's any kind of an accident that involves more than damage to your own vehicle or injuries to yourself, you should immediately contact an attorney for representation. Next, the question is, what did the officer say about your driver's license? Specifically, did they say that it was suspended for some reason as of the time of the stop? That, again, is important for a couple reasons. One is because that could be charged as a aggravated DUI. If the person's license is suspended for some reasons, for example, not paying court fines is one possible reason. No insurance is not, but nevertheless, not doing traffic survival school, if you had a red light ticket, that can be charged as an aggravated assault. And so, again, if the officer said the license was suspended for any reason as of the time of the incident, you should immediately talk to an attorney because you could be facing a felony charge. There's another practical concern is the license suspended for some reason? Namely, that if the officer served you with what's called an admin per se, which says that they think that the alcohol level is above a 0.08, or you had drugs in your body, or they said you refused to submit the test and gave you an implied consent affidavit, they're going to file that with the Arizona Motor Vehicle Department, even if you don't have an Arizona driver's license. Once that is filed with the Motor Vehicle Department, if your license is suspended or privilege to drive here is suspended for another reason, for example, as they say, unpaid court fines, while that proceeding is pending with the Motor Vehicle Department, you cannot reinstate your license. So if your license is suspended because of a no insurance charge, you can't be charged with a felony out of that, but your license will remain suspended until the MVD proceeding regarding the DUI case is over with. So what you should do is immediately get your license reinstated, whatever it takes to get the license reinstated. Do that within a day or two of the arrest, because you want to do that before the officer files the admin per se or implied consent form with the motor vehicles. That's very important. Another thing you should do with the motor vehicle department is it's important for the motor vehicle department, the MVD, to have a current mailing address for you. They're going to send you notices about proposed suspensions and hearings, and they're going to send it to the notice that they have on record. So that if you've moved so you'll no longer get mail at that address, you should notify the motor vehicle department. You can do that online, but notify them of a correct mailing address. Don't assume that just what you gave the officer is going to be good enough for that. Notify the motor vehicle department of your current mailing address. If you do not have an Arizona license, you can, in a few days after the arrest, you can call the Arizona Motor Vehicle Department and give them a correct mailing address for you, because you'll receive notices from the Arizona MVD, even if you're licensed in another state, such as California. So if you're licensed out of state, as I say, make sure the Arizona Motor Vehicle Department has a correct mailing address. I would wait maybe about a week or so after the arrest to do it, but you can do it by calling their general number, 602-255-0072. You'll be on hold for a while, but you can call that number and give them a correct mailing address. You can't do it online if you don't have an Arizona license, but call them to get a to make sure that they have a correct mailing address for you. If you are licensed in another state, such as California, again, make sure that the California DMV has a current mailing address for you, because they may be sending you notices as well. California often sends out notices very quickly if somebody has been even just arrested for DUI, and so you want to make sure you get the notices from California. So again, make sure that whatever state you're licensed in, if it's not Arizona, make sure there's a current mailing address on record. Now, if the officer took your driver's license and gave you a temporary driving permit, that's good. You can drive with that, assuming it wasn't suspended for some other reason. You can drive with that for 15 days or until a hearing is requested. You can, at least on a temporary basis, you can continue to drive. Now, what is important about this is if your vehicle was impounded either overnight or for 30 days, you're going to need some form of ID in order to get the vehicle back. If it was just impounded overnight and it's with a tow company, Apache tow company, for example, you've got to have good ID or they're not going to give the vehicle back to you if the vehicle's in your name. So what you should do is, as soon as possible, go to the Arizona Motor Vehicle Department and get a temporary ID if you don't have some other form of state-authorized ID. As I say, you're going to need that to get the vehicle out of impound if it was impounded. Now, your vehicle may have been impounded for 30 days, and under the circumstances, you may or may not be able to get it out. If it was impounded for example, an extreme DUI, if the vehicle is in your name, most police agencies will not release it ahead of time. If you are married or somebody else's name is on the registration, that person can get the vehicle out of impound. To do that, you're going to need the registration and insurance card, and an insurance card showing that the other person is covered under the insurance. You're going to need that. If it is in the vehicle, as often is the case, then you can call the number listed on the impound sheet to find out where the vehicle is, and you can go one time to get the information out of the vehicle. Make sure to do that before you go to try to get it out of impound, because the police are going to want to see that. People other than the driver, for example, as I said, a spouse, can get it out if they produce the marriage certificate showing that they are the spouse, or the name is on the registration, they can get it out. Or anybody else whose name is on the registration can get it out prior to the 30 days. And each police department has a different procedure on how to do that, and so you should immediately contact the police department. You can use the telephone number that's listed on the impound sheet that they would have given you. Next after that would be, you should check to see if you got all your property back from the police. Occasionally property gets lost. And so I'm just thinking of one case recently that a few years ago I had, where my client was arrested by Phoenix police. While the investigation was pending, the officer placed my client's driver's license on the hood of the patrol car and then drove off, and in the process managed to lose my client's wallet and all the contents, which was a major problem because he had to cancel all his credit cards, and it was difficult. Now, occasionally in the processing by the police, property gets lost. So check immediately to the property you got back. If you think there's anything missing, by all means, immediately try to contact the police department. Do it the next day. Don't wait. And say that I was arrested and I believe there's some of my property wasn't returned. This was the arresting officer, and they can check with that person to see if they have it, or if not, you can always have them check with a supervisor. So by all means, see if any property was taken and you don't get it back. Now, sometimes what the police will do is impound weapons when they're found in a vehicle. If they're not a part of a criminal charge, then usually you can get it back within a few days, the weapon back, and the police will tell you what the procedure is. If there's any kind of a difficulty with that, you can always talk to an attorney. Having said that, you can try by talking to the police first about that. Now, sometimes a weapon is kept as a possible evidence in a charge, even on a misdemeanor. A good example would be in Scottsdale, the police will commonly ask somebody they've stopped, are there any weapons in the vehicle? If the person says what officers claim is they don't answer clearly or say no, and they later find one, they'll impound that as evidence of a crime. That has to stay in property until the case is over with. But other than that, if it's not property or evidence of a crime, then you should be able to get it back very quickly. Now, one other point about the driver's license is sometimes people will say, well, I've just had my license taken by the police. I'll run down to the motor vehicles and get a duplicate license. You cannot do that. You actually can do it, but you should not do it. The reason for that is, if the police have taken your driver's license, Arizona driver's license, and given you a temporary driving permit, what is your driving permit is that temporary permit. It is not a picture driver's license. If you get a duplicate license, that in effect is a false license. The motor vehicles will issue one because they won't know that the officer has taken it yet until a few days have passed. And so it's quite possible to get a duplicate license. But the problem is, if you have it on your possession, and an officer finds it, you can get charged with a separate crime, possession of a false driver's license. So do not get a duplicate license. What you should get is you should get the temporary ID card, not a duplicate license. Now, a next thought would be is, what do you have to do after the arrest? Sometimes depends on what your profession is. Certain individuals, such as healthcare professionals, are required to notify their licensing board of the fact of an arrest, not a conviction, just an arrest. They have 10 days from the date of the arrest to notify their licensing board. They can be subject to sanction if they do not do that, if they do not comply with that. Good example would be physicians have to notify the medical board, BOMAX. Nurses have to notify their licensing board. Make sure to notify any professional licensing boards you may be licensed under of the fact of the arrest, because you don't want to get disciplined by the board, not for having done anything wrong in terms of criminal conduct that would result in discipline, but rather by not notifying the board. So check with your licensing board if you're licensed to see if, in fact, you have to notify the board of the fact of the arrest. Commercial driver's licenses, if you are a holder of that, employed by a company, you're supposed to notify the company of the fact of the arrest. That's a requirement of having a CDL, and so by all means do that. Again, you don't want to affect your ability to drive by simply not notifying your employer. There will not be an immediate suspension of a CDL, but you should notify the employer because you're required to do that. Other individuals may be required as a condition of their employment to notify human resources of the fact of an arrest. And if that's the case, then do that. Most places, most businesses that I'm familiar with don't impose any kind of discipline as a result of an arrest. But you are sometimes required to notify an employer. You should check with an employee handbook if you have any questions. Otherwise, talk to a lawyer about it. Or if you're a member of a union, talk to your union rep as to whether or not you have to notify anybody of the fact of the arrest. Now, the next step should be is you should make a statement or write out a statement as to the events that took place. In fact, when I represent the clients, I have a form that I have them fill out. It's available on my website. If going through the events of the arrest that may have legal significance down the road or may help with a trial. You should fill something like that out. You should write out a statement in your own handwriting as to what happened, because it would be helpful to be able to remember things if you have to do a trial later, or these may be details that would make a difference later when you talk to a lawyer about the case. What you should not do is have other people write statements. For example, witnesses or somehow friends that have some knowledge of it, do not do that. The reason for that is if they become witnesses in the case, a defendant's statement does not have to be disclosed by the defense to the state. Witness statements of other people do. And so, for example, if you have a passenger in your vehicle and you have that passenger write out a statement of the events that took place as best that they can recall, if that person is going to testify at trial, the defense attorney has to disclose that statement. If they don't put anything in writing, they don't have to disclose anything. But if they do, they must disclose it. So it does not help the case at all to have witnesses write out statements. If you give them to the prosecutor in an effort to get a better plea offer or get the case dismissed, they really won't care about defense witness statements. They can only come back to hurt you. So do not have friends or witnesses write out statements. Another question that people commonly ask me is, should they get or start alcohol treatment or counseling if it's alcohol or drug counseling? And what I tell them is that I would not do it for the sake of the case. Don't think that you're going to get a better resolution of the case if you do counseling now. Usually cases are decided upon what happened at the time and not what a person does subsequently. So I would not do counseling for that purpose. If, however, for your own purposes, if you think you have a problem with alcohol or drugs and counseling would help that, then by all means do it. But do not do any kind of counseling if you think it's going to help the case, because it, in and of itself, it really doesn't. Now, one other point that occasionally comes up is when a person is arrested, that often they're told they have to submit to a set of fingerprints. And sometimes they do a set of fingerprints with the police department, and then they're surprised when they're told later that they have to do another set of fingerprints. What's required in Arizona is the courts are required to obtain a set of fingerprints. So, for example, if somebody is arrested in the city of Phoenix, the police may get a partial set of prints, but the court is the one that requires a full set of prints. And if they don't know that the police department got a full set, assuming they did, they still will require you to do a set of fingerprints. So I would not be too concerned if the police tell you you have to do fingerprints for their purposes, because the court is going to say you have to do it for their purposes. And what gets really confusing is when you're arrested by a person's arrested by the Department of Public Safety, a DPS officer, they'll be told they've got to do it for DPS. But if the case is in a justice court, a Maricopa County Justice Court, which is quite common if the person is arrested by a DPS officer, then the court's going to require the person to do it with the sheriff's department, and the people are going to say, well, why have I got to do it twice? You have to do it in a justice court with the county sheriff's department, and if it's in a municipal court, you've got to do it with the court, usually through the police department. For example, Phoenix has somebody in the court house to do that. Tempe, you'd go to the Tempe Police Department. So in short, I would not be worried about doing it quickly. Wait and find out exactly who you have to do it with before you do it. Now, the purpose also of the fingerprints is not to anything unusual. It's required of all cases. So everybody's required to do a set of fingerprints if they're arrested. And each time they're charged, they're required to do it. So there's nothing unusual about it. So these then are a few of the basic thoughts that I have about what people should do when they're first arrested for a misdemeanor charge in Arizona, a misdemeanor charge, a DUI. I leave with one other thought. You should always contact a lawyer immediately. The penalties are very severe. It could have an effect on your life that you do not anticipate because there's all sort of collateral consequences that can have an effect that people aren't trained day in, day out to think about. So by all means, you should contact a lawyer to see what defenses you might have, but more importantly, what would be the impact on your life if you're simply arrested or found guilty of some of these charges. So I hope this has been of interest to you, and if you have any questions, feel free to call or email me anytime. Thank you.